League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh Pate rejoining the show here on ESPN 97.5 at Late Kick Josh is where you can find him. Josh, welcome in. And congratulations on, I saw you got a new deal. You negotiated a deal and signed it yesterday with 24/7 and CBS. Congratulations.
I appreciate that, man. It was only about 8 months to get that done, so that's nice to get off the shoulders.
Yeah, but you can do it. And it wasn't even a distraction for you because you've been doing a great job covering college. Okay, so all this stuff about it's a distraction, getting my contract done, is probably BS, isn't it?
Well, I'll say it this way. It is if you're working with the right people. So fortunately, I got to experience it that way.
All right. Well, congratulations, man. So where were you in the most momentous occasion in the history of sports when Aaron Judge hit a 60-second home run?
Well, I was on the air last night, and I don't know who I need to apologize to, but we decided on our college football show, made for college football fans who want to talk and listen to college football, to not cut in with the Aaron Judge at bat.
Wow.
So congratulations to Aaron. If he's listening this morning, congratulations, Aaron. I hope it was a great night for you. I'm sure it was. But we had to break down two loss Texas versus two loss Oklahoma, and there was nothing that was going to interrupt that.
Well, apparently you don't love America then, because you were the only station in America that didn't cover Aaron Judge's.
I guess I don't love America either, because I don't give a crap.
No,
about
I don't give a rat's ass. No, Josh. Okay, so what did you surmise from the two unranked teams meeting for the first time since 1998?
So I went to this game for the first time in my life last year, and it was one of those rare examples in life where the actual experience even exceeds the hype, because I'd grown up as a kid in Georgia. I had only heard about the Red River Shootout, but I had never experienced it. And, man, it lived up to it. Now, it didn't hurt that it was a great game. It was very drama-filled. But this year's game, you can either look at it one of two ways. You can either say, oh, a couple of unranked teams, two losses apiece. To me, I choose to look at those sorts of games as one-game seasons. And I guarantee you, if you were to take a casual fan who is unaware of the records, and don't tell them the records and just show them the game Saturday, they would be enthralled by it, because you know it'll be very, very high-level competition on that particular day. But I go back to last year's game, and for all the talk this year about Oklahoma's terrible run defense, which is valid, I remember last year Bijan Robinson breaks off that long run early on, and it starts to feel like, man, Texas is going to run away with this thing, and they got the ground game working, and Xavier Worthy is working in the passing game. Well, Oklahoma ended up, I think, hanging about 340 rushing yards that day, and that's their key to this year. If they want to win this game this year, I think they got about 14th or so mod best rushing offense in the country this year, and that's with Dillon Gabriel playing at quarterback. But their shot in this game is to do it that way, to get explosives, and it doesn't always have to come through the air. Short of that, I know this line is, I'm going to say only 7, but as we all know in this game, that's a pretty fat point spread. There's just so many more paths to me for Texas than there are for Oklahoma. But look, that's why they're going to tee it up Saturday.
I watch Texas, so for I'm a voting member for the selection committee on the Joe Moore Award. And so I was watching Baylor, TCU, Kansas State. These are some of the offensive lines I'm watching to try to decide who I think in this region should get into the the honor roll, the top 18 to 20 that's getting ready to come out. Boy, one thing that stood out to me, I watched the TCU game, and I want to say the Kansas State game against Oklahoma. Their defensive front seven sucks. I mean, they are out of position. They get pushed around. You can run the ball on Oklahoma. I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And Oklahoma's cranked out some draft picks in their front seven over the last few years. It doesn't look like they've restocked very effectively. I think Bijan could end up, if Steve Sarkisian doesn't, kind of self-check and prevent Bijan from having a big game, this has a chance to be a big signature game for Bijan Robinson, I think, against that Oklahoma defense.
Yeah, well, that's how it felt it was starting to go last year. And so, I'd echo that. I think that this year's game, for the other three quarters, kind of starts to feel like the first quarter did last year. But that goes back to what we talked about last week, man, about these games that start to unfurl and you realize something's working. How disciplined are you to just put about 70% of that play sheet in your back pocket and save it for another day and just go with what's working? Because if A works, you don't need B, C, D, and E that afternoon. And it very well could be that that's the case, because here's the other part of that. I know sometimes this is nebulous, but it's one thing if you watch and you just see sort of better athletes being dominated. Oklahoma athletically may not be on par with what they've been in past years in the front seven, but when I watch those games, from a more layman's perspective, it just looked uninspired. And that's the bigger red flag to me. And if you've got that, I don't doubt they'll be motivated Saturday, but man, that stuff goes out the window really quick. Hype videos only matter until they kick it off. When you don't bring the requisite level of play to the field, especially in a rivalry game where it's 100% certain the other side will, yeah, that could go really, really sideways. And you're talking about physically getting humbled on that stage. That's a checkmark game for pride as much as anything to me.
At Late Kick Josh on Twitter, must follow every day to get his college football insight. So A&M is going to Alabama, Tennessee to LSU. You got all kinds of Arkansas, Mississippi State. Game day's going to TCU and Kansas. What were the odds before the season that game day in week five would be at, or week six would be at TCU, Kansas?
Long to quite long?
No, to not off the board.
This is the week where I circled in the preseason, and I was worried about the fact that Jimbo's trip to Tuscaloosa was coinciding with the Red River game, and I was going to have to choose between one or the other. Well, I mean, I ended up choosing, well, we're going to go to two games Saturday, but LSU-Tennessee is really the one that I ended up circling. Now, contractually, I've got to be in Tuscaloosa that night. So otherwise, I may have made the trip to Lawrence as well, because I've certainly never been up there. And it's not just a novelty trip. Those two teams have earned the right to have that spotlight on them. I also think another game that is sort of off the radar because of the conference it's in is Utah at UCLA. That's a pretty interesting matchup, too.
Mm-hmm. It really is. UCLA, yeah, very quietly. Chip's got them playing. And DTR is having a much better season at quarterback. Zach Charbonneau, to me, is one of the best running backs in college football. I scouted him last year when I thought he was coming out. I didn't have a minus on the page. Like, everything was pluses. All my comments, I had 9 positive comments, didn't get to a minus, and then I found out he had already declared he was coming back. I went, oh, I'm wasting my time on this, but I'm going to save this sheet for next year, and so I'll have it this year. Hey, so UGA, this is now back-to-back games. UGA, wildly unimpressive, and that's a Missouri team that is not, they're not going to roll over for anyone. However, with that said, boy, UGA really struggled offensively, and that Oregon game seems like a long time ago. Now, all of a sudden, we're left with, well, is Alabama really a top Nick Saban Alabama team? Well, is Georgia really the team that we thought after week one? I'm not sure that team's out there this year.
Yeah, here's my corollary. So last year, Bama opened against Miami in Atlanta, and they blew them out, and everyone started to paint that team as this death machine that was going to be invincible and untouchable. And then they started to show cracks. They almost lost to Florida on the road. They did lose to A&M. They barely got by Auburn at the end of the year. And you realize that week one game, you should have observed it. You should not have drawn conclusions from it. You fast forward to this year. Georgia goes into that same building in Atlanta week one, and they just splatter Oregon all over the place. And a lot of people who get amnesia every summer, they drew conclusions from that game. Well, then you watch them against Kent State a couple of weeks ago. Wow, they struggled. Oh, they must have just been sleepwalking. Well, then they go into Missouri, and they don't lead until mid-fourth quarter, and they didn't find the end zone until the fourth quarter, by the way. And so you start to ask yourself, why didn't I see the burst? Why didn't they just pull away? Well, if you look at that wide receiver room, look at the unit they put on the field right now. Where are the difference makers? In fact, I'd argue this, too. With Georgia football, consider the standard there. If you look in their backfield, tailback position, where are the special players? Where are the difference makers? You don't have a Bryce Young on that team that can drag a bunch of otherwise average to above average guys across the finish line with him and take over a game. That's not Stetson Bennett's game. He has to be complemented by really good pieces in the backfield. Their offensive line, I thought, played about as poorly in that game as you will see a Georgia offensive line play, and it didn't necessarily improve a whole heck of a lot. They had to scheme-wise change some things up to even get any traction on the ground. My point is, it's not an aberration. Your eyes are seeing what they're seeing. Georgia just doesn't have the difference makers there right now. Now, I think it'll help when they get A.D. Mitchell back, but consider what we're talking about. Normally, you know, with a team that you're talking about as a title contender, you're talking about a room full of guys. And right now, that's not the case with Georgia. And it shouldn't shock people necessarily, but I think it's a shock to the senses of the ranking community when they just saw that week one game and 49-3, how can you deny this? And that's the lasting image you have in your mind, kind of like Utah. If people are honest with themselves, the last time people watched Utah nationally, they lost to Florida. And you don't know that they're one of three teams in America right now, top 12 in scoring offense and scoring defense, because you just painted them. You wrote them off after week one, and you cast the mold with Georgia after week one, and you're not always the team that you think someone is or you think you are in week one. So they've got some more struggles coming up. They're going to be better than every team they play. They'll be favored in every game until they get to Atlanta probably at the end of the year. But all of a sudden, you just think about it down the road a few weeks, guys. How much different does Georgia versus Tennessee feel now than it did 3 weeks ago?
Oh, man. Okay, speaking of which, your top three Heisman candidates right now.
Oh, boy. This one's tough for me because I never even – I think I would put Hendon Hooker up there. I just never know whose stats compare to the others. I'll say Hooker, I think the number is 212. Hadn't thrown a pick in his last 212 passes. And when you came into this year, I remember all summer long, everyone, including me, wanted to talk about that 34-3 touchdown-to-interception ratio last year. And I just know so oftentimes when you're so hung up on one stat, immediately, week one, there he goes, two picks in the first half. Well, I guess that stat's down the toilet. Well, it hadn't been that way. And as a result, they've won every game they've played so far. By the way, they play a team this week that's number one in turnover margin in the SEC, so keep an eye on that. But I think Hendon Hooker would be up there. Who are some obvious guys? Because I never think about the Heisman. Who are some other obvious guys?
Oh, you don't. Bryce Young, but he got hurt. CJ Stroud is a candidate. But he looked
bad. What about Gibbs? What about Jahmyr Gibbs at Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, Gibbs would have a shot, but I don't even think he'll get the invite, to be honest with you. I mean, this is going to be – I tell you, Deuce Vaughn's having a nice year at Kansas State right now. He doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but Deuce Vaughn's putting together a really nice year.
You know
who
looks different? Is Adrian Martinez. He looks like different guy this year.
Yeah.
I mean
– Yeah, I would – listen, here's what would be fun. What would be fun is if we could just isolate this thing to the Big 12. I mean, I guess they call that the Big 12 Player of the Year Award, but – even in the Big 12 alone, man, it's been a circus in the best of ways out there. And if you look at your calendar, I don't know if you guys feel like this. If you just restrict it to the Big 12, I feel like we have gone through an entire season out there already with how up and down and crazy it's been. We're only entering week six.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's so wild that you can get this deep in the season and have that much of a conference still feel like they have literally everything to play for. I mean, outside of West Virginia, really, maybe Iowa State, but how many teams feel counted out of the Big 12 championship race?
If I'm OU,
I would feel that way.
I have never in my life seen so many teams in the mix in the Big 12. Never in my life. Oklahoma's still alive. I mean, kind of. Texas is still alive. You got Kansas State making noise, Baylor making noise. Kansas? Like, I've never seen this many teams.
And the best team is OSU.
Been alive. And OSU, yeah, and they beat Baylor just last week. So it is a wild, wild year in the Big 12 right now. It also shows that at the top, Oklahoma has taken a step back, even with Venables. They've taken the step back. And Texas has not, up to this point, taken a step forward that many of us thought they would this year.
Nope.
So, and then Dave Aranda just sits there and does what he does. Mike Gundy does what he does. Kansas State is always, you know, they're not an easy out. They'll always fight you hard. Only this year they're turning into some W's.
Easy out. They're tough. All right. That is
TCU. Josh is back in the mix.
No, back in the mix. They're undefeated and they're playing for the lead in the
just like we conference. Thought it would be TCU and Kansas.
That's Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. A must follow. Josh, as always, he's also the host of the Late Kick with Josh Pate. You got to watch that as well. CBS Sports 24/7. You can find him there. Josh, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us.
I appreciate it, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Yep, there's Josh Pate right here. Great college football insight. Great stuff. We're talking right now about Doc Linville. And listen, hair is it's more important than you think. If you're bald, it is more important than you think. If you're young, you're in your 30s, and you are balding or bald, I mean, come on. Even if you're in your 50s, or your 40s, your 50s, whatever the case may be, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Bald is bald. Don't be bald. You don't have to be bald anymore. The process is so simple, the neo-grafting. Doc Linville is one of the leading replacers of hair. Well, movers of hair. He moves it from the side and the back, and he does it so much less. Oh, my gosh, I did the whole cutting thing before, and it was awful. I was going to speak for a company, and I just said, I can't do it. I'm not doing it because it's just this process is terrible. Then I did the neo grafting with Doc Linville, and it was awesome, unbelievable. And I got hair, and it's all because of Doc Linville. And if you want hair, all you got to do is start the process. Free evaluation with Doc Linville at 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.